hoping. Oh, are you an Aggie?
So, no, I went to school in Indiana where I'm from, but my daughter went to UT, and, you know, after living in Austin 35 years, go to football games, you kind of start being a UT fan.
Right.
And so my son went to A&M. He goes, Dad, you know, I notice with my sister, it's all this UT stuff. What about giving some love to the Aggies?
Exactly.
So that's where this comes from.
Well, just so you know, I'm originally from Ohio.
Okay.
And so for my number one team is my beloved Ohio State Buckeyes.
Excellent.
Okay. But my number two team is the Texas Aggies.
Right.
And then number three is U.S. Army.
All right. There you go. Good, good lineup.
Now, I actively root against two teams every year.
Oklahoma.
No. Although that would be the number, that would be the third one. I don't like them either.
All right.
No, first one is Michigan.
All right. Very good. Well, they stumble every now and then. So
they won last year. I was madder than a hornet.
I still can't believe that Appalachian State from ages ago. That was funny.
And the other one is the Texas Longhorns.
Right. So the Longhorns are easy to hate, right? I mean, just such an inflated ego of how good they are. And they have everything they need. They just can't win games.
Right.
So
right.
It's easy to
I mean, they've got a good coach or they've had a couple of good coaches, but I don't think they gave them enough time. And I know that A&M's got a great coach right now. Ohio State's got a good coach. And so we'll see what happens. I think we've only lost under Ryan Day. I think it's been four games in like 3 years.
It's pretty easy to root for the Buckeyes. They're good. How long ago was that they came to town? Has that been 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's exciting.
Which, by the way, I have to say, the Buckeyes, when they came to Texas, Texas treated them so well.
Right.
The inverse was not true.
Right.
And I was not happy with my Buckeyes.
You know, that stuff happens. A friend of mine, huge UT fan, he traveled up to Nebraska when Nebraska had this, you know, 50-year home winning streak, and UT beat them.
Right.
And so, you know, you would think they'd be upset, right? They're used to winning at home. And he said everyone was so nice. He would go out to bars, and they're like, you know, nice game. Can I buy you a beer? And I was like, that is great. Made me be proud to be from the Midwest.
Right.
Uh-oh, I pushed a wrong button.
Just shared my screen. That's all.
Oh, okay. I thought I pushed something.
No, it's me. I'm bringing up the agenda.
All right. I'll let you handle Vince. Well, in terms of the minutes.
Say again?
In terms of taking minutes.
Well, I mean, he either has them or he doesn't. If he doesn't, right, then he's probably going to catch hell from Mo, but, you know.
That's a normal board meeting. I'm used to that.
Yeah. He said he'd have him for this meeting. I have him on audio saying he would.
Right.
Would be nice if he'd have sent them out early so we could have read them.
That's usually the protocol.
Yeah.
That's kind of a standard thing in terms of board meetings, introductions. Do we have a quorum? And let's review the minutes from the last meeting. Those are the big three.
Yeah, that's the way we always did it back in the day.
That's how you do it.
The minutes. Any changes? Change this, have the board meeting. We're ready to roll approval next. Help streamline the process a little bit. Hello, Vince.
Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you, buddy.
Sorry about that. I have to change my mic volume. Hold on, let me check.
Yeah,
right. You're good now, Ben.
A little bit. Welcome.
You're admitting everyone right now, Keith.
Any, they can join 15 minutes before the board meeting.
Okay. Do you want to just do everything since you have everything prepared?
We're gonna just. I'm gonna probably, like I said, I'm waiting for Mo to get on here. Hopefully, right. Jamie too, and okay. Then wait a little bit to see who's coming into the board meeting, and then okay. we'll have an official start time. I'll write that down.
Okay. I'll just sit back and let you run the show.
Right. There's some things I may have to ask you later from a
that's fine. I'm right
property
here.
Manager point of view.
Oh, is that better?
Yes, sir. That's perfect. That is.
Okay. Sorry about that, guys.
That's fine.
I had to do the microphone jiggle. I do have those meetings. However, I'm currently on VPN and unable to get to my personal laptop. Is there any way I can give it to you later on this evening or probably tomorrow, Joe?
We'll have to approve them in a board meeting. So that means we'll have to save them until the next board meeting because we're required to approve them in an open board meeting.
But go ahead and send them over, Vince.
Okay.
And I see Molly on board.
Hey, Mo.
Okay.
Yep, we hear you fine.
Okay, cool. So I just got here. We had a little problem in the kitchen. Do we not have minutes to approve? Has the meeting been called to order?
Not yet.
No, okay. We're waiting for everyone to get on.
I'm going to give folks a little bit of time to come in.
There we are.
We'll have minutes tonight, Molly.
Well, we just have to approve them during a board meeting, which is a problem. We didn't have them last board meeting either.
Right.
So this is twice in a row.
Yep.
Can we, when the meeting starts, can we officially announce it's twice in a row that we haven't had meeting minutes to approve?
We'll get to that. Put it that way.
Okay.
And how's everything? That's what I was going to ask. I'm doing fine.
Good. Is it busy? Is it like a busy time for management companies in the summers or?
So we call this the beginning of budget season. And, the challenging thing about budgets is the back and forth with the board. You know, obviously we have a lot of changes to make. And so we really need to get all that done in October, or our next board meeting would be good if we were prepared to approve it in front of a open board meeting. We'll have a budget workshop where we go over the numbers. I have your budget ready to go. And I'll send it out probably tomorrow and let you guys look at it. And then we'll probably have some sort of a budget workshop, you know, next month to fine tune some numbers. And then hopefully we're in a position to approve it 2 months from now at the next open board meeting.
Okay.
That would be ideal. Your budget's pretty simple, right? We pay the landscape. Yeah. So
we're pretty basic.
And we're a lot of money in the bank. So everything's pretty simple.
Okay. I was taking some notes about just a few things. Are we going to talk about, because I know that email came in yesterday or today about the landscaping from the landscaper.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I know it's not probably in the agenda because it's new, but
we can put it under homeowner concerns.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Well, hopefully we get some more homeowners. Looks like we have a couple.
Yeah.
How's everything going at the church, Mo?
Which one?
The one we had the annual meeting at.
Oh, I don't know. We used to be members there, but I ended up taking my kids to a bigger church that had more children activities. So
there you go.
I'm still friends, but you know, it's just a little small congregation. I work in a church and I attend a different church, and of course summers are crazy. It's VBS and mission trips, and one of the pastors where I work is on sabbatical, and so it's just like,
keeps you busy.
It does. It's good. I mean, it's a good busy, but it's hard, you know, it's hard when you're working with church people because you expect them to be church people and not real people, and they're real people. So.
Right.
And hey, I'm real people.
Vince is here. Mo is here. I'm here. Joe's here. We've got at least one homeowner here. I don't see any more, but then this thing doesn't always show me everyone who's here.
There are two, Jessica and the Dee Dee.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. So hey, Jessica. I say we call this meeting to order.
Lee and I are both here.
Oh,
all right. Awesome. Awesome. Welcome. I say we call this meeting to order at 19:06 or 7:06 p.m. Let me write that down. Meeting is called to order. All right, first thing on the agenda is old business approval of the March 30th, 2022 board meeting minutes. Vince, you're up.
I do have them, but I have not sent them out yet.
Well, we're required to approve them in an open board meeting. So can you send them to us so that we have them for the next meeting, and we can approve them then?
I think I should be able to do that.
Okay.
Why didn't we have, because we're doing two of them, why do we have two that we need to approve?
I'm not able to. I think we know the answer to that, Molly.
I'm asking in a recorded meeting, why do we have two that we need to approve?
Because they haven't been done yet.
Neither one of them have been done yet?
They haven't been approved? Nope.
Why haven't they been approved?
Because we haven't approved them in an open board meeting.
Why not?
Because they haven't been approved.
Is it because
we're talking in circles?
Yeah, I think.
I have them. I haven't.
Don't have anything to approve because the secretary has not submitted the meeting minutes to approve.
Joe, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Can you take over the meeting minutes? I no longer want to perform that duty.
Well, if I recall right, if Joe does that, Goodwin charges us. And according to our documents, it's the secretary who takes the minutes. So that's your job.
What's the charge of that, Joe?
$95 an hour.
I don't approve.
Well, wait a minute. Is that including the actual meeting or is that an extra charge?
Generally, Goodwin doesn't take meeting minutes. Typically, I'm the one running the meeting, making sure that I take notes of all the requests that are made of me. So typically we would have the secretary take the minutes. And then if the secretary can't take the minutes, then the board will decide a alternative.
Well, I'm currently still working. I'm at work right now. So I'm working on a case and it may hinder my ability to record everything accurately.
So I hate to break in here. Does that mean, because I jumped in late, you haven't done the minutes for the past two meetings?
No, I do have those.
Okay. So
he has them, but we don't have them to approve.
The minutes have been done, but they have not been sent out to the other members.
Correct.
And had a final approval.
Correct.
Well,
we are required to approve them in an open board meeting. So if we don't have them, we can't approve them.
Oh, Okay, so moving on, the secretary has stated he no longer wants to take the meeting minutes. He's requested Goodwin do it. I don't think Goodwin should do it because I don't think we should have to, no offense, Joe, pay Goodwin $95 an hour to take our meeting minutes when that's in our documents that the secretary is to do that. So what are our other options, Keith?
Well, the way I see it, there's two options. One option is for Vince to make a motion that Goodwin takes board meeting minutes from now on, or for you to make a motion that the secretary do his job. Take your choice. It's either way.
I motion that the secretary does his job.
I second.
I told you that I'm still at work and I've got other, you guys know I work till about 7.
I know, but it's 7:10 right now.
Right.
And this has been on the calendar for months and the minutes.
So you're making a motion that I have to do minutes?
You're the secretary.
It's your job, sir.
What if I'm not available? What if I'm out?
Then you can send a message to one of us and we'll pitch in for you.
I'm telling you, I'm currently occupied working on it. I'm juggling two things right now.
So usually
this is planning ahead though, and you wanted to be on the board, and that means fulfilling your position. So that's one of your duties.
Mm-hmm.
Usually Vince, you would take the minutes after the meeting, and we have 60 days in between meetings, and then you just send them over to us and we look at them, and then Keith is able to bring them up right now and approve the previous meetings minutes. If you wait 60 days or 120 days since the other meeting, then we're not able to do that. So just don't wait till the day of the meeting, just a few days after the meeting, take the minutes, send them over to us, and that's going to fix the problem.
Exactly.
So, but we don't have them now, and I think probably it's best to move on to the next item, and we'll fix that for the next meeting.
Can I make a motion?
Actually, only board members can, but you could ask a question.
Absolutely.
You can.
Okay, can we have a motion to have somebody else do the minutes for tonight, and then later in the executive section when the rest of us are off, you guys can quibble over the whys and wherefores and whatever with Vincent?
Well, as I understand it, he's got the minutes done. He just didn't send them to us. So what he can do is send them to us. We'll review them and get them squared away between now and the next meeting. And then the next meeting will approve March, May, and July.
Yeah, I understand that. But as far as tonight's meeting,
we can't approve them if we don't have them. And it would
precisely, but he needs somebody to take the meetings for tonight.
Right. Well, this
that's where I'm getting at.
D is just asking if somebody else can take the minutes for this evening. Since
that's also what I asked. Actually, that's what I asked.
So you—that's what you were asking, Vince, because I didn't understand that. So you want someone else?
It didn't sound like that at the time.
He wanted Joe to do it.
Yeah, tonight.
I'll do the minutes.
Okay, Keith is going to take the minutes, and
I'll do the minutes. Ready to move on.
All right, thanks, Keith.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so update on billing error. Joe, you're up.
So we've talked about this before. We never got the records from the previous management company. So we are going to send out bills. There's going to be mistakes. And so when you get a bill from Goodwin and you've already paid it either to the other management company or to us, just send proof of payment and then we'll log it. So easy peasy.
Also, Joe, we were looking at, but we'll bring that up in executive session. Never mind.
Yeah, we can cover that then.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Update on mailbox lighting. Vince, do you have any more information on that?
Unable to get permission from the Postal Service on that. I can't even get somebody who will fix our current mailbox.
Well, and that's the thing I wanted to interject on that one too. We were contacted by a homeowner who was complaining that it's been months since the mailbox on Bradford Park. Mm-hmm. And
I'll be almost six now or
five. Yeah, near Elizabeth Ann and in Bradford Park, that whole box is broken. And I was able to get a hold of Johnny at, he's a supervisor at the Double Creek location. I told him who I was and what the problem was.
Johnny who?
He didn't give me a last name, just his first name. He says he's a supervisor there at Double Creek. And he said that there's a company that they contract out of San Antonio and that we basically have to wait for them to get around to it. We can't. I asked him if we could fix it. He said, no, we got to let them do their job. And I said, well, it's annoying to my homeowners. And he said, well, it's annoying to us too, because it creates more work. And, you know, the homeowners come in frustrated. And I said, I get that. So he just said that if he heard anything, he would give me a call. I gave him my information, my phone number, my email address, and I've heard nothing from him. So what I will do is I will give him another call this week and see if I can find out what's going on.
Okay. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
This has happened before and it doesn't seem like it's ever taken this long to repair.
I think part of the problem may be fuel costs, and also they may be supply shortages that are causing the problem. So, okay. Well, that's up on that's it for mailbox lighting. Update on painting house numbers at curb. Mo, you're up.
I know we've had a couple of people, but it seems like a very, very small handful that have responded to the newsletter request to see if anybody was interested in that.
Yeah, I think there's like seven people in there, the email that want it done, something like that.
I think it would be better, honestly, if we just picked a day and then put flyers on everybody's door that they could just leave on the door of whether or not they would approve having their number painted on the curb. But it's been extraordinarily hot this summer.
Yes.
No, we wanted to do it this summer, but I think that it just would be dangerous. Even if we had kids do it, it would just be dangerous to have
anybody. Well, and that's what I was going to say. We just got back from the summer camp with the Boy Scout troop in Colorado, and we haven't had a troop meeting since then, but I was going to bring it up. But during the summer, they're very limited on their on the troop meetings anyway, because they have the summer camp. I think our next one is on the 8th, but even like their Eagle Scout projects and stuff like that, you don't even see any of them coming up, because it's too dang hot to be planting trees or doing any of that. Now, however, painting the numbers on the curb is not that big of a deal, and there might be someone that wants to do it. I was just waiting till I actually go in person to bring it up and see if someone wants the service hours, but I'm sure someone will. But we could still do the people that have asked for it, since it's only a minimal amount. If I still don't know about getting the supplies.
That's true. Yeah, no, we can get the supplies from the library. So that's not a big deal.
Oh, that's just where it is, the library?
Check it out like you check out a book, apparently.
Is that like stencil and everything?
Yeah, it's like everything you need. It's the paint and the stencil and...
Well, I think our next troop meeting's on the 8th, and I'll bring it up to them and see if there's someone that needs some service hours from one of the scouts. And if so, I'll let you know, and then we can go from there. But if they're like, if no one jumps on it, then we'll either have to wait until it cools off, or because if it was cooler, I wouldn't even mind doing it for someone if it was not 150 degrees outside.
Yeah. And I would, I mean, honestly, I'd really like to have, you know, the majority of the houses in the neighborhood done. And I think, you know, once people see that we're just doing it, like we're just doing it for free, that most of them wouldn't have a problem with it.
Oh, we've got someone who's raised their hand.
Oh, hey, really? This is Jessica. I have a property on Elizabeth Ann, and we did this. We did the curb numbers at South Creek, and the board actually did it, but we went around and asked, well, we emailed everybody and asked if they were interested in donating maybe $5 or $10 towards the POA. This is because we have a neighborhood association.
Mm-hmm.
Towards our Easter egg hunts, and we come paint your curb numbers. And it was super easy. If you had one team go in and they do the back, you know, like the rectangular spraying of just the backdrop right. of the number, and they do it like maybe for an hour or two. And then the next team the next morning did it in the morning, just the numbers. And that, you know, the numbers take a little bit longer, but they both can go pretty quickly. And if you get them done by 9 o'clock in the morning, if you go out there like 7 to 10, it won't be too hot. But we did that in the summer one time, and it was actually pretty great.
Cool.
Oh, that's awesome, though. That's awesome.
That's what I was going to suggest, is if they could just work a couple of hours in mornings. It doesn't have to get all done in one day or even just a couple of days, whatever they can get done when they can get it done.
Yeah, but there's not that many to do, actually. I don't know how long it would take to paint those numbers. I've never done it before, but I don't think it would take too long.
Now, it doesn't take long at all. It's just a matter of from the background to the stenciled numbers on top of that, waiting for mm-hmm. that other paint to dry. So if they do one on one day and one on the next, boom, they're done.
Right.
And it's offered by the city for free. We get all the stuff. So it's not okay. as if it's even costing us anything.
Right. Just a matter of, right. of getting the organizing everything and getting it together, which has been the mostly the problem. First of all, there was also at the last meeting, someone brought up, I think it was Mo, that there are some folks who don't want the numbers at the curb for their house. And so we were trying to figure a way at the last meeting to allow those who wanted it and those who didn't. So we put it in the newsletter. And Jamie, how many did you say signed up for that?
There's like 7 or so. Yeah, everyone should have gotten it because it was in the newsletter. And we've right. only had like 7 email responses saying that they want it. I do believe someone, I think, reached out to Molly personally that didn't email us to the email, but I'm not sure. But I'll look real quick. Let me see if I can minimize this and look. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, I think that, I mean, I think if we do little flyers on the door, we're going to paint numbers, you know, like the old song, check yes or no, yes, no. Or just, we could just say, hey, we're doing house numbers. Let us know if you don't want it done. And that way, if they don't respond at all, then just do it.
Okay. Except that you've got a lot of non-resident owners.
That's true.
This is true. We got about last count, there were 73.
Yeah, I'm just thinking for the purposes of a... I'm thinking of the purposes of emergency services, and that it would be so nice if the neighborhood was standardized and they could guarantee that those numbers were on the curb for every single house.
Right. I agree, though. I agree.
I do, too.
Neither Lee or I recall seeing the part about the numbers, but we had ours done 20 some odd years ago when we first moved in. They could probably use a redo. So I don't think we responded to that, but we would like it.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting us know.
Yeah. She made me think of a question. It's gone. It was a good question.
About emergency services or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I wonder if it would take a huge vote to do, but I'm wondering if we could have that put in our, like our deed restrictions. You have to have your number painted on the curb. I don't know if that's normal.
Well, to update the deed restrictions takes 187 yes votes.
I doubt you could get that through, Molly.
I know. It'd be just so good, though.
Yeah, I think there's other things we'd want to get if we can get 187. There's
If I can get 187 votes to change the
It'll be for
the,
something else.
The declaration, there's a whole bunch of other things they're going to go to.
We could
anyway,
do it
you heard that there was 8, does. And then with DD makes 9, I guess. So that's all we got out of all the people that got the newsletter.
Yeah.
And let's see. So hang on a second. My dog is starting to whine. I don't know why. What do you want? Go lay down. There. Hopefully he'll shut up. All right. So
one last thing on last subject.
Yes, sir.
If you guys get to an impasse and not finding people to help you, I'm available most mornings.
Okay.
That would be fun.
I'm sure we can get one of those scouts. They're always looking for hours because they need it to advance in rank. That's why I like giving it to them.
Right.
But if you don't want to wait, sure.
If somebody has something that they say they're going to be there, but then they fall through, you guys can give me a call.
You're awesome. Thank you, Lee.
Thanks.
And I think where Molly was talking about hangers on doors, if we make it absolutely plain that this is a no-cost service.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It might make a big difference also as to whether or not people want it done.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll write that down.
And so anything else on the painting of house numbers at the curb?
Nope.
Okay. All right, on to new business. This one is a rather big pain. There's four documents. Let me see if I can pull them up real quick. And I'm going to ask Joe, because I think Joe responded last time that, let's see, which one is it? Security measures. There's this one here. This is, we had to have this drawn up by the attorney. Per Texas law, it was supposed to have been done prior, I guess, either prior to or just after September 1st of last year, but we didn't take control of the board until September 29th of last year. And then of course, everything blew up. So things have finally stopped blowing up about 2 months ago. So we got the point where we got the attorney to draft this. Joe, Is you said these at the last board meeting, you said these are standard boilerplate kind of things.
Yes.
A lot of...
Yeah, I had a question about that.
Yeah, hang on just a second. There's a lot of stuff in here, especially when it starts talking about the type of fencing, and that it has to be, I think it says it has to be wrought iron fencing.
Are you talking about fences in the front yard, Keith?
Yeah, from the front yard and the sidewalk, because of it's security fencing. It's not like your normal privacy fencing in the back and on the sides of your home. This would be like for security measures, right? And so is this standard that it has to be here? Must be metal, must be wrought iron or aluminum. I think it says aluminum. I can't.
Yes, let me kind of give a little background. So last September, the state legislators said, you know, there's at least four documents that all the HOAs have to pass. One of them is if you want to put a fence in your front yard, you know, sometimes that's unsightly, especially if there's no restrictions. Someone puts a chain link fence with a row of barbed wire across the top. That doesn't look good. So this defines exactly what you can do. In the front yard. And that's a state law that people have to be able to do that. There's other things, religious expression items, record keeping. We call that the legislative packet. And we did, I think, 800 of them. And we got all those done by last September. Mm-hmm. We didn't have your property last September, so it didn't get done. But our attorney is familiar with this. And the way it works is we, in an open board meeting, we have all the documents available in case someone has questions. We vote on it as a board in front of an open board meeting. Ideally, we approve it. And then, Keith, you sign it. And it has to be original ink. It can't be a copy.
Right.
And then you mail that packet over to the attorney.
Right.
And then he files it with the county. And then it's law.
Well, this one, if I recall, has to be done by not just me, but also by Jamie. The ACC has to vote on it, and they have to approve it. And then we have to approve it. And then I have to go and have it notarized and then send it in.
That's correct. All those steps have to happen.
So,
So
thing of it is, we had absolutely no input on this whatsoever. And my question is, Is that normal?
Yes, it's a state law.
Okay.
So,
Jamie, so it can be changed. I mean, he just drew this up from something that he probably had saved. And so I'm just going to interject right now. What I did was I sent it to the other two ACC members to see if they have a problem with anything. Because obviously we have to allow a perimeter fence. That's the law. But we can dictate the materials. And I'm not so sure I like the part where it's so specific about what it can and can't be. And that it might be preferred to have it just be approved by the ACC, whatever that might be. Anyway, we'll see what the other two members have to say just to get their input. But that was my thoughts on it when I first saw it. I'm like, well, without any input from the board or the ACC.
Now, you know? I want to make clear, I sent this around twice to, I think I sent it to you, Jamie, did I not?
Yeah, that's how I have it.
Okay, so I sent it around to Jamie. I sent it to the other two board members and I sent it to Joe. I sent it around twice so that we could talk to it at this meeting. My point was, is that, have you everyone read this and are you okay with this? Or do we need to ask if we can get some of this changed by the attorney?
Yeah, I did read through it for the most part. I'm okay with it. I was just waiting to see what the other two ACC members thought about it. I really think the only thing in there that might be need a little more latitude would be the materials to the front.
And okay. And to interject, the most HOAs don't want to allow a chain link fence with barbed wire on the top. And so if it's not addressed specifically in the documents, the building materials, then a person can do whatever they want by law. So that's what this document prevents. It meets the state requirement, but it purposely picked something that most people probably wouldn't do.
And well, obviously, no one wants a barbed wire fence as their next neighbor.
But if it doesn't say it in the documents, they can do that. So that's why this specifies something that is expensive, and a lot of people won't do it. Fences in the front yard don't look good, but by state law, people can do it.
Right.
So this makes it restrictive enough that most people say, okay, well, I'm not going to do that. That's the idea. So it meets state requirement, but it also keeps something from happening that would be extremely unsightly. So that's why it's like this. Now, he can change it and he can say, you know, wood fence or whatever you guys decide. I wouldn't change anything because you really probably don't want fences in the front yard. Do you have anybody that has a fence in the front yard right now?
I don't think so.
This essentially prevents that from happening, but it also follows state law. I wouldn't make any changes to it. No one's going to build a fence in their front yard. They're sure not going to go to the expense of a wrought iron fence. And so I would leave it like it is.
Well, then we're getting back to where the homeowners really don't have a choice. And my question would be is, if we have to get 187 votes to change the declarations or whatever it is when we have to do something, why wouldn't we have to do that to put this in place?
This because is a state law. Go
state
ahead.
Of all, state of Texas.
Right. The state of Texas just says that you have to allow a perimeter fence. It doesn't say anything about all this other stuff that we are adding to our declaration.
I'm pretty sure it says that we have to have a policy. And so this is the policy.
Okay. All right. I got you.
If you don't have a policy, here comes a chain link fence with a barbed wire.
Exactly.
That's what this does. I recommend just pass it like it is. We'll have a vote either now or 2 months from now. And let's just check this box of getting this administrative requirement taken care of.
Vince, Mo, thoughts?
But there should be four documents. This is just one.
This is the first of four.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Right. I think that's because this one deals with the ACC as well. I think the other ones are mainly just the board members.
They are.
So right. I would ask, let's vote on, or vote on this next time or over the next week or so. I'm going to look at it and I'm going to talk to Elaine Alvaro about it.
Okay.
And so the procedure, just so everyone knows, in an open board meeting, which we're in one now, or we'll have one 2 months from now. That 2 months, people can review it. Then let's have this the top item on the agenda. Let's just get it over with. Someone, a board member, has to make a motion. Someone seconds the motion. Vince, that all goes in the minutes. Then Keith asks for a vote, just like we always do. The three board members vote. We record who voted how. And then the resolution passes. Keith does all the administrative steps of the notary, the wet ink is what they call it. You mail it over the law office. He records it, and then it's law. And then we're done. Then we're compliant.
So yeah, we got again, it. I'm asking Vince and Mo, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. I'm on the fence, about it.
I see what you did.
Yeah, most likely it'll probably stay the same, but I just want a little more time to look and talk to the other members about it. And
that's what I was going to say is if ACC really is supposed to be what drives this and what approves it, then I really think we should have the opinion of the ACC committee before we make a choice.
Okay, so do you make a motion to table this until the September 28th board meeting?
I guess so. I motion to table this till the September 28th board meeting. Did you say 28th?
Yeah, I believe that's what
September
it is.
September board meeting.
Yeah, I second. A second's been heard. Mr. Secretary, would you please poll the board?
Sure. How do you vote on this, Keith?
I vote yes.
And you, Molly?
I vote yes.
It was tabled till September 26th.
How do you vote, Vince?
I agree.
Okay. Unanimous.
All right. Very good. Next board meeting is going to be busy.
Oh, no. Well, we'll go through it fast.
No, we'll get this done.
Yes, we will. Okay. That's one. Let's see. Religious displays. This is another one where we have to, and again, this is for the board, doesn't involve ACC, but it just says we have a policy on religious displays and where it can be put.
And just for perspective, every HOA in the state of Texas has already done this.
Yeah, except us.
Right.
So do you either of you have heartburn with this one?
So what if we don't? I mean, I don't see any value in restricting what you can put up and what you believe, especially when regards to God. I don't see value in this. But I know it's the law, and we have to.
We have to have a policy now.
Have a policy that just allows it.
Well, it depends on what the policy says, and that's what you're what because you can't argue about not having a policy. We have to have one by law. So, okay, if that's the case, if this is too stringent, what do you suggest we change?
I wouldn't put any restriction on displays of religion.
A 50-foot cross in your front yard.
Yeah, I mean,
if somebody wants to do that, something that shows their character, I'm not going to tell them that they can't do that.
Well, this is when we're also talking about the resale value of the house next door.
Mm-hmm.
So the house next door has a 50-foot cross. I mean, I'm all about it, but I might want to sell my house, and then I can't find anybody that wants to buy it because there's a 50-foot neon cross next door that the Muslim people wanting to move into my house wouldn't appreciate. And I'm all about displaying, you know, what represents your faith, but I think it can be done in a modest and tactful way.
And this addresses that.
I'm curious regarding this, would this in any way affect like holiday decorations?
It talks about holiday decorations.
Holiday decorations.
That's religious, yeah.
Does this...
not all holiday decorations are religious. I wouldn't call Santa Claus religious.
No, but a lot of people put up like the nativity scene.
It's not permanent.
Or something like that.
Right. No, I agree with Joe. It's not permanent. People put up nativity scenes at Christmas, and then because it's...
I see it here.
Yeah.
Right. And then it comes down. So yeah. We're talking about permanent displays.
Okay. I guess that's what I was wondering about. So this is just addressing permanent displays?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, it's kind of like, I just noticed something in there where it mentions, though, not more than 25 square inches. That's pretty small. I mean, you couldn't even have a flag up that's not bigger than 25 square inches. Am I reading that right? Let's see. You can't put up a religious display bigger than 25 square inches.
Basically, if it's bigger than 2 square feet or 4 square feet.
No, 25 square inches is just a 5x5.
True.
Like your hand.
You can't even see that somewhere. I would not want to tell someone they couldn't put a 10x10.
That's my point. I think it's restrictive.
But... It's approval. It's right, this... approval to put up something larger than that. Yeah, this... it's something you okay. could go, well, yeah, that's reasonable.
I got you. Okay.
I'm not saying to use this to restrict anybody's one particular faith or religion,
right.
Or belief. I think it's just looking at how, just like we would with the color of a house, how it would affect the visual value of the neighborhood as a whole.
Right.
Yeah, I missed that in there. I see now that it says it talks about getting approval in that. So.
Well, does anyone have any issue with it? Does any homeowner have any issue with it?
Not here.
Not here, no.
Okay. Board members, do you have any heartburn with it?
I do not.
Vince, do you?
I don't find any value in it.
You don't find any value in it. Well, I think it's actually reasonable. So I'm going to make a motion that we approve this one. Do I hear a second?
I second.
A second's been heard. Mr. Secretary, would you please poll the board?
How do you vote, Keith?
I vote yes.
And how do you vote, Molly, on restricting religious items displayed? I'm restricting?
I vote yes to adopt this document.
Okay. And I am against it. I think it's a little too restrictive. And honestly, if somebody wants to display their faith, I would not have a problem with it, even if it was 5 foot.
Well, it's not asking if you have a problem with it. It just says
you need approval, right?
They need approval. That's all right. It says. It doesn't say the approval will automatically be denied. It just says it needs granted.
Right.
Yeah. We agree to disagree, and I believe the motion has passed.
The motion carries, and so this will be adopted. I'll get that this one on the this one going here. Okay, so that's for religious policy forbid solicitation. I think this is for more than $50,000. Yeah. So if we have any bids or proposals for services that will be in the amount in excess of $50,000, I think this is also reasonable. Board members, do you have any heartburn with this?
No, I agree with that one.
Give me an example of what would be
landscaping and a big HOA.
Well, not landscaping here because we have such a small thing, but let's say we had to replace that entire fencing over on High Country and we had to contract it and it cost $75,000. We'd have to follow the bid process for this to get that done.
Right. Three bids if it's over 50,000.
Right.
I thought that was just basic
business. Yes, yeah. I got a question about practice. That. I thought we were supposed to get bids anyway. Was that not right?
We don't have to, apparently.
Well, as I understand it, the bid process for a vendor or contractor, for instance, our landscaping service, I think you have to get at least two. We try to get three or more, but that doesn't.
What's your reference on that? Do you have a reference?
Some folks will give you a bid, and then other ones will say, "Well, it's too small of a." Like, for instance, our landscaping, it's too small of a job, so we're not going to do it. Yeah. So, we ended up with two bids for that because there was the third one just said it's too small of a job.
Right. And it wasn't. Yeah. Several people said it was too small of a job. So that
yeah, we actually good. Reached out to a bunch of folks for that. But yeah. So, but this is set in stone that if it's over $50,000, you have to have at least three bids.
Right. I don't have a problem with that. I was just wondering what, like, you know, I was just having just questions about what all that would cover because I just couldn't imagine.
Yeah, where does the $50,000 number come from? I'm just curious.
That's what the law states.
That's a state law. In the law? Okay.
But it was good to bring up that, like, the fencing that goes along right. High country. That's a good, you know, that's a good example.
Okay, thank you.
It's good.
Homeowners, do you have any issue with this?
No.
Okay. And I don't think anyone's got an issue with it. I don't have an issue with it. Mo said she doesn't, and Vince said he doesn't. So I'm going to motion that we approve this. Do I hear a second?
A second.
A second's been heard. Mr. Secretary, please poll the board.
Can we vote, Keith?
I vote yes.
And Molly?
I vote yes.
I agree. Motion carries.
Okay. One more. And this is the hearing policy for what is this?
You want me to explain it?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
The time of notification. Regarding sales?
I'll go ahead and explain it, and then we'll see if that answers your question. Let's say someone wants to put a 50-foot cross in their front yard that requires ACC approval. The ACC meets, and they say, no, we think that's too big. We'll let you put a 4-foot cross in your front yard. Well, I want to have a hearing. So this outlines an exact format for having a hearing. I've been through 209 hearings before, and so I know how to do them. So if we get that situation, I will help Keith run the 209 hearing properly. It's okay. Basically just a format. Homeowner, state your case. Okay. The board has, the ACC has listened to your comments. We're going to convene and we'll give you the answer within, there's a time limit, I think 10 days. So it just outlines a format as opposed to, well, we just don't like it and that's that. So the likelihood of this coming up in Bradford Park is small, but if it does come up, the homeowners know that they have an appeal process if they don't like the ACC's decision. That's all it is.
I like that, actually. I do like giving the homeowner the ability to step up and say, you know, I really disagree with your decision.
Right.
You know,
and that's in front of the board.
Do that. I thought there was something in our bylaws that said something about that, though, that if they didn't agree with ACC's decision, they'd have a meeting with the board or something, but I might be wrong, but I thought I remember seeing something about
Jamie, that. You're correct. This is a statewide statute so that now we have a format that every HOA is required to follow.
Okay. Yeah. In case some HOAs didn't have it, but I thought right. We did, but okay.
So this, we probably do, but this outlines it specifically for every HOA.
And this would supersede anything in correct. Our documents, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
This is the law.
And if you can even make an audio recording, either party can.
We're state of Texas. It's a one party state. So yes.
Well, it's right here in the, right here in the, policy too.
Right.
All right. So this just refers to items that would be under the Architectural Control Committee?
Correct. Not, if you don't agree
the
with
sale the sale of your home.
Correct. If you don't agree with the decision of the ACC, you can request a hearing in front of the board.
Right.
And that's called a 209 hearing.
And this basically,
okay. I had heard something about a 209, section 209 thing, but it had to do with the sale of your home.
Real estate certificates.
Yes.
209 addresses all HOA rules. This is just specifically for.
We don't have to have a policy on resale certificates, do we?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Only
we
don't addresses.
We don't
this only
that.
Addresses one thing.
I think she was just referring to the new cap on what they can charge for a resale certificate now.
Right. And we don't actually do those that I know of.
I had never heard of that before until I read this thing about that. And it's like, you have to get a resale certificate from the HOA to sell your house?
You do, but
really,
that's another discussion. We're going to get in the weeds pretty quick on that. Yeah, right now, usually
the title company handles that.
Right.
The title company is the go-between on that deal.
Pretty much invisible as far as the homeowners are concerned.
Yeah. That's correct.
You'll just have to pay for it at closing.
The course.
My question, what's the cost for our community, a resale certificate?
Do we want to stay on focus?
No, just real quick. Do we know?
That's
just a quick question. Is it a standard rate? That's it.
It is, and I don't have it memorized. It's somewhere in the ballpark of $375.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
This homeowner has no problem with this.
Okay. Does anyone else have an issue with this?
No.
Okay. Board members, do you have an issue with this?
Nope.
No.
Okay. No board member has an issue with it. I don't either. I make a motion that we approve this. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Second's been heard. Mr. Secretary, will you please poll the board?
How do you vote, Keith?
I vote yes.
And Molly?
I vote yes.
I agree. The motion carries. This will be placed into our documents.
Okay. Well, that's that. Back to the agenda. That's what I had on here. Next on the list is homeowners concerns. Homeowners, do you have anything that you want to let us know? Anything we're doing right, wrong, or indifferent?
A question about the pond in the park.
Uh-huh.
Have any of the board members submitted a request to the
city
Round Rock Parks Department to have that fountain looked at again?
No, I'll put that on my list.
Well, the pond is almost empty, so it really doesn't matter much now, but.
You mean just for general maintenance?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good idea, actually, since the pond is almost empty. I write it down.
I think Keith is writing notes.
I am.
It's just that, I haven't been bass there in a while, but that's a pretty good idea.
I got it on my list. I'll either me or someone on the board will notify Round Rock and ask them to do something.
And I have another quick question regarding the impending Gaddis School widening. Is that going to take away a large portion of the lots that are at the end of Bradford Park there?
I don't know.
I'm gray. I haven't been blue. Part of the Round Rock stuff for that.
Those homes are not part of our HOA either anyway. I was just curious if anyone knew.
They're widening the bridge. That's mine. So I would assume they're going to widen all the way up.
They're next to it.
I also assume that they're going to make it so we cannot make a left into or out of our neighborhood from or onto Gaddis School Road. That's just something I heard from somebody about a year ago, that it was a possibility that we should expect to eventually not be able to make a left there.
I would doubt that, since there's kids from here that go to school over there.
There's a traffic light. Oh, and you can go out the back way and go to Meister. Oh, are you talking about Ridgeview?
Go work out.
I guess you'd have to make a right and then a left onto Lake Forest.
Put it in my closet. I think we just need to keep those in our closet. I don't like them there either.
So it's just something I heard, but it's a good point. People going to Ridgeview, some kids go to Blackland Prairie, but our school is actually Gaddis Elementary
for primary elementary, mm-hmm. but not for secondary.
Right.
Yeah. That's Ridgeview.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I heard that we might be forced to only be able to make a right out of the neighborhood.
So I haven't been plugged into the city, so I don't know offhand. If you want me to, I can call the city and find out.
That would be nice.
That's a good idea too, just so we know.
And of course, everybody now knows that the land opposite the new warehouse down there at the Donnell overpass, the land opposite that is now going to be like 9-story apartment complexes.
I heard 7.
7? Yeah, yeah. Well, I think they're approved for 9, but they're going to build 7.
Yeah, that's all those 5-acre lots that were behind us, behind Donnell.
Right. Yeah. Is there anything that tall in Round Rock? I mean, as far as apartment complexes? I can't remember.
It's just listed as high density housing, which could be as tall as whatever it was mm-hmm. in those notices. But okay. they did just rezone 2 of those lots for that. So hopefully they won't. It might be just a matter of time before they do it all, but it kind of ticked me off because I was at the hearing when they first changed all those lots to commercial residential, and they swore up and down that there would never be over a 2-story thing there.
Yeah, and then the contractor submitted for 4-story
and then
asked for 7-story, and the city council went, okay, sure, why not?
Yeah, it wasn't 2 months after that initial one where I went and I was complaining about it, as well as the guy that owns the 5-acre lot behind me. We were concerned about what they could build right here. And I said, none of us want apartments, right? You know, out of our back fence. And they're like, no, if anything, it's just going to be condos and this and that. And then it was like 2 or 3 months later, we get the other notice that they're already asking to rezone 2 of those lots. And that's the one Keith and I were going to go to, but we had a miscommunication on the date. And
yeah, that's, I was going to say, I wanted to apologize for that. I had planned to go to the second meeting. And
yeah, me too.
That particular day, my sweet wife had a bad day at work. She goes, you're taking me out to dinner. So we go to dinner. And at that point I was out at Home Depot with her, looking at stuff at Home Depot. And I get this text message from Jamie. You go into the meeting tonight. And I'm like, what meeting? He says, the meeting for the planning commission. And I'm like, that's Monday. He goes, no, dude, that's tonight. I'm like, crap.
Yeah, I'm not so sure it would have made a difference after going to the hearing before.
Right.
And mentioning, I'm not sure who all showed up. I'd like to know who was said, but I figured they were going to approve it anyway. There's too much money and lawyers involved. And I don't think they would really care what a couple of the concerned citizens would think. That's just my opinion on it, though.
Well, to be fair, they consider Bradford Park a starter home community. So we don't generate enough tax revenue for them to really give a damn.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So anyone else have any concerns or anything else?
Quick question. This is Jessica.
Yes, ma'am.
The newsletter, I know y'all mail it out. Is it sent out electronically either?
I think there is on the newsletter a link where you can get it like over the like through the web, but I don't think they send it out electronically. I think it has to do with advertising. Mo, do you know anything about that?
I feel like when I talked about it with Neighborhood News months ago, that was a separate fee, but I can ask them.
Okay. Could you put, I'll put that on here.
It's not considered advertising if the owner offers up the email for a communication. So
I think it's a separate fee for the homeowners association, because we pay for the postage.
I think it would be just like a
different tier of our subscription to them.
I thought you checked on it at one time, and I thought it was minimal. I mean, in my opinion, I think more people would probably prefer it to come electronically nowadays. But
yeah, I don't know. If we had people's email addresses, I mean, which Joe knows, that's hard to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it would save a lot on postage and paper, and if you sent it out like via MailChimp, you could have that automatic account set up.
Right, but we go through Neighborhood News, and they do it for us. So I use MailChimp and Constant Contact where I work, but Neighborhood News is the company we use that that creates our newsletter for us. All we do is submit articles, and then they create the newsletter. It's paid for mostly by the advertising within the newsletter. None of us have time to create a newsletter.
We're doing good to do articles for the newsletter, yeah. To be fair.
It's rough.
By the way, Mo, I had a question on the newsletter. I sent you probably a couple months ago a CSV file that should have reduced the amount we would pay in postage on the newsletter because it consolidated names and addresses. For instance, I know the last two newsletters, my sweet wife and myself both got one.
I know. We did too.
And I'm like, we only need one.
I agree. And I asked her about it. I guess I need to double check with that again, because I was like, we're all at the same address,
Right.
We got three of them because there's three people.
Yep.
On our title. So.
And, if you want your parents to receive one, we can always update that list so that they get it in San Antonio.
Oh, I just take a picture.
Okay. But yeah, if you do that, did you sent them that file that I sent you?
I did, but I'll double check and just make sure she got it.
Okay. Because if she didn't, let me know. I can send it again. Because that way we know that, because I think if I recall right, it came out to I think $250 or $260 for the newsletter a month.
Yeah. Well, it's every other month.
Every other month. Yeah, you're right. Every other month.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Mailbox, billing. Anyone else?
Oh, sorry. Hey,
no, go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
It's not about newsletters.
Well, do you have a concern?
No, but I would like to see if we should do a fall garage sale for the neighborhood. What do you think of that?
I think that's a good idea. When would you like to do it? go to bphoa.info and look at the current things that we have right now.
Right. Let me look at my calendar. Do you think, I mean, because it's still kind of warm in October.
Right.
Do we want to aim for like the first weekend in November, like November the 5th? What do you think?
Hang on just a second here. I'm trying to get my stuff together. We got a board meeting on November 9th. October, we've got October 4th is 3-0. So you said when in October?
I said November 5th.
November 5th. So that'd be 4 days before our board meeting.
I don't think that'll affect the board meeting at all.
No. That works for me. Vince, what do you think?
In the fall after November sounds good to me.
November, did you say 5th or 4th?
I said 5th. It's a Saturday.
Okay, November 5th. Wednesday, November 5th.
No, Saturday.
Saturday, November 5th. Sorry. I'll make sure to put that on bphoa.info too.
All right. And then we can do signs. I know we have signs for events.
Will that be from like 7 a.m. till noon?
Probably. Maybe 8. I'm not sure when. I'm not sure what when the time changes and when sunrise is.
Okay. I just put 7 a.m. to noon. Okay. Back to the agenda. Any other homeowner concerns?
I had something else on my list.
Oh, okay.
Neighborhood night out. Are we having neighborhood night out?
What's on the, yeah, it's on bphoa.info and it is Tuesday, October 4th, 2022 at 5 p.m. National Neighborhood Night Out.
Okay, so do we want to start planning that? What's our budget?
That's probably not a bad idea. We could probably do that offline. We don't have to necessarily do it here.
But can I start doing that? Like lining things up? Because we should
absolutely.
We should be reserving things now so we have what we need and we're not trying to scrounge around for leftovers.
I agree.
Okay. Well, y'all enjoy. We'll be in Florida.
Sounds good to me. I'm going with you.
I haven't been to Florida in years.
We go every year, first week of October.
Really?
When did I go? I haven't been since 2 weeks ago.
Got a weekly timeshare down there.
Well, we'll miss you.
Yeah. We're going to get off here, folks.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Later. Thanks for allowing us on.
Adios. Hey, you know, we're here for you, so.
Till next time.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right. Anyone else have any concerns?
I think we're out of homeowners.
We're out of homeowners. So it's just the board members that are on here now?
And Jamie.
And Jamie. All right. Jamie, you got anything?
No, but just a quick update. I did hear back from Alvaro, and he said that, it looks appropriate to him. So I'm pretty sure we'll have this settled here, way before the next meeting. So we'll just approve it real quick and get it done.
Okay, cool.
Unless Elaine brings something to our attention that we missed or something, I'll look it over. But I'm pretty sure it's good. I wasn't trying to be difficult. I just didn't want to get too restrictive if we didn't have to, but
right
at it again. So
right. Well, it's that time of day, folks. We're going into executive session if no one has anything else.
Okay. We'll see you later.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Jamie.
Okay. Is Jamie off now? I can't
tell. He is off. Okay. He is.
Executive session. So I'm going to quit recording.
I need like 1 minute.
Okay. Take a pause for the pause.
I need 1 minute.
Okay.
And just a reminder, Vince, we don't take minutes of executive session. And Keith, you're going to call the meeting to order at 8:09.
No, we're going to call what we'll do.
The executive session.
We'll say we went into executive session. And then at the end, I'll say the board meeting ended at X. So
okay, got it.
Stop recording right now.
Okay.